What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
2 days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
We want to step back from the specific charges for a minute and have a conversation that's bigger than the Duggars, because the Duggars are a symptom of this greater disease, and I'm going to call it a disease in my opinion, or cult. It's a belief system called the Institute in Basic Life Principles. It has operated inside this country for 60 years. It shaped hundreds of thousands of lives. Shaped, I think, is maybe a real positive way of spinning it. It's probably more like scarred hundreds of thousands of families, and largely avoided serious scrutiny because it wraps itself in scripture and calls itself a church. The Duggars didn't build that system. They just became the most famous face. And what's coming out of that family right now, the charges, the silence, the closed ranks, the denial from a prison cell, none of it is surprising when you understand what the system right. actually teaches and what it's designed to do and who it's designed to do it to. That's what Rob and I are getting into today, the IBLP. Again, this is my opinion, and then there's Robin's opinion. Allegations are the allegations that are out there. This is an opinion piece.
And no expert on the church itself, just really what we've been researching and applying what we understand of the structure of what we've been reading about the Duggars and apply it to human nature on that.
Yeah, so there's that.
It's not Mormon.
Yeah.
St. Martin put that in there. No, it's not Mormon. It's a Baptist offshoot.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. This weekend, somebody I was talking to that made the comment of, well, it was 5 years ago since it happened. This little girl's coming up. Yeah. You mean like she was, because somebody said, you mean third grade? Yeah. I mean like third grade, meaning Joseph Duggar found it to be a great idea as a 20-some-year-old to go get a blanket and put it around him and a third grader that wasn't his own child, and then have whatever the hell he's doing with his hands. This is the folks we're talking about. Yeah. Part of the IBLP. This is part of their religion. Okay, so let's talk about this, because they have this teaching, the umbrella of authority that they invented, where essentially you have the church, and then below that you have the fathers, and then below that you have the wives, and below the children. And basically, it's as long as you're looking up to the closest umbrella to you, nothing can ever get at you, assuming the umbrella above you actually wants to protect you and not do horrible things to you. That's where the problem seems to arise, when they seem to have a lot of these folks around that they have broken umbrellas, to put it nicely. Yep. Robert, we were talking in the last segment about this a little bit, where basically if there is an accusation or something horrible that comes out, take, for example, this, the accusations of the 13-year-old in Florida that Joseph has allegedly admitted to. that happened when the girl was nine. They would not report this to the police because in their mind, that's not something you do. You go handle it internally with dad. And then then as long as dad says, I'm sorry, I guess everything's okay. And according to them, if this were a business and this were like in the handbook of don't report this shit, just go to HR, I think they'd be shut down pretty quick. But because we put the magical R word in front of it, religion, it's like, oh, it's okay. It must work out good. You said the word God in a sentence, didn't you? I guess he'll protect us from everything.
Yeah, and the father, the patriarch, is the end-all be-all in this entire thing. They are the protector. And what I found really interesting about this concept, you would think in situations where you have this kind of abuse being reported very accurately, very descriptively, that they – but it looks like from the outside it's being covered up by this patriarch. Mm-hmm. But same time, though, if law enforcement gets involved and comes in, they're telling and instructing everyone, be completely transparent, be completely open, be cooperative. Yet what's interesting is that the children in these situations live in fear of this closing because that goes against what they've been taught for their entire lives of honor thy parents. And so it can have that impression from the outside of they're cooperating, they're doing all these great things, but at the same time though, are they really? Because they're still honoring the one thing, the only person that matters is what the father thinks. And if I don't get the approval from the father, nothing else in life matters, because that comes down to that.
And I can guarantee they feel guilt. Guilt for coming forward and doing this, because now they're blowing up this family and they're doing this. And I assure you there's passive aggressive shame that's going
around.
Shame's
the motivator. So shame, and Jill even talked about it in her book. So remember, one of the greatest motivators is fear of human, you know, is fear is one of our motivators for action. And the way we fear the other one is shame. And so what they'll do is if you don't adhere to the protocols, if you don't adhere to seeking forgiveness, and more importantly, giving forgiveness, shame.
Yeah.
And they will avoid shame at all costs. And so you see the battle that's going on internally here of these poor little children. They're God, what a mess.
Someone said, to be fair, describing or disclosing abuse is met with denial regardless of religion. Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent it is, but what we're talking about differently here, what I think is different, and I don't want to say just the IBLS or whatever it's called, the IBLP, it's true. I think a lot of religions have a very similar type structure. We're going to handle it here this way. They're just a lot more direct about it. They're just more like, it's in the handbook, here's how we handle this. I think a lot of other religions are kind of like a little more in the gray area of like, well, is there enough pressure that we're going to get a news story done about us, or can we handle it over here? I mean, essentially, it's how much pressure do you have to put on the organization to do the right thing? They're going to stand there and be your moral authority all day on everything and tell you this is right and that's not, and you got to do it this way and that way. But the only way that we're actually going to take a stand and do what we're supposed to be doing, what we've been telling you all you need to be doing, is if you threaten to expose us. And then if you threaten to expose us, we're going to threaten you by going after, you know, your morality, and you're going to be excommunicated and this and that, and we're going to take away your inheritance if you say anything negative about our family. Let's sign a few NDAs. Jim Bob's good at that. I mean, it's just insane. It's insane control, and it's being executed by these people who are claiming they're just the moral authority because of their religion, and they seem to be completely tone deaf and blind to the actual actions that they're taking and how the rest of the world perceives them. But they've also been conditioned to not give a shit either. I mean, it's really this kind of magical cacophony of, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm going to be the moral authority. I'm going to do the exact opposite of what I'm telling everybody, but somehow I'm still justified if I just keep telling myself this and the few people around me just keep reinforcing my ways of thinking.
It's interesting. And also Robert Pickett said something about, you know, political parties, agendas. Yeah. So I actually looked up the numbers on this. Cults, religions make up 51% of the cults on average around the world as a pure definition of cult. And then political parties and all these other things make up the other 49%, if we're just looking at numbers as Robin does. And So, sorry, Tony, I had another point. I'm based on that. I was riffing off of what you said. I can't remember.
How does anybody look at the picture of this family and go, there's not something really wrong going on here? Because it's not 1847 and we have birth control. Like, I mean, just like just looking at the family and just...
So
going,
that's attractive. So Tony. So I looked at this. So you know. So again, let's do our thought experiment. Remove the horrendousness that we've seen. Say you are in a world that you're not around or been exposed to a lot of really really healthy people. You've been in a world of chaos. Because this, you think in terms of what inspires a family to start following this path. Well, say that you're in a world of chaos, and so the mom, Jim Bob's wife, she originally was not part of this. You know, she got part of this because of her husband.
Yeah.
And so here you are, you're in a world of chaos. There's a lot of unhealthy things. There's a lot of maybe sex, drugs, and rock and roll going on. And then you have an opportunity to calm the chaos in your life, and you see a photo like that. And again, you're not looking at unhealthy. You're looking at, wow. Family, community, safety, guaranteed social networks, friends. So that's the attractiveness. Because I looked up and I said, what would attract someone in 2026 to want to voluntarily start from nothing and go into that? It's those things. It becomes attractive to people, not weak-minded people, just people seeking some calmness, some serenity, some community. So that's the attractiveness of it.
And the sick part about it, I mean, and I remember when the show was on TLC years ago, mm-hmm. I never really watched it. I would watch Trading Spaces and I'd see the promos for it. And I remember...
Tax credits.
I mean, tax credits galore, I guess, too. But I mean, and this is just the one that was exposed. I mean, there's tons of families like the Duggars that are out there. They're just mm-hmm. these ones had a TV show.
Yes.
Relying on the other kids to raise your kids is essentially what they ended up doing.
Oh, they had a buddy system like Navy SEALs.
They did. Sorry. They had a buddy system. Yep. and they talk about it. And it looks all lovely and neat in your, 3-minute segment on 19 kids and counting or counting on or whatever. And it's always this is enduring. Look, they're learning how to be grown-ups and taking care of each other. Yeah, that's all fine and well to a certain extent, but they're kids raising kids at a certain extent. So is that part of the breakdown here? Because look, Josh was a kid raising kids. He was one of the older kids. So he had some sort of moral authority to a certain extent above the other kids. I'm wondering how much of that, when you get into these sort of dynamics where you have kids without reps who are teenagers who are riddled with emotions and riddled with hormones and no life experience and very little guardrails or actually very strict guardrails, little education,
just
I guess.
Appropriate ones.
Yes, there's guardrails, but nobody knows why they're there or how they're there or what they do. And when they're not educated on any of these sort of things, and then you end up with this nightmarish scenario that some of these kids went down and then end up going into adulthood, I guess, and finding a proclivity to enjoying it. I just think like that recipe right there, this idea of, well, okay, you're this moral mom and dad. You don't have the bandwidth to parent these kids. There's not enough of you to go around, even if you tried. So the good percentage of the parenting comes from someone who's not that much more experienced in the world than themselves. And God knows what other sort of misguided thoughts they may have, these boys. Clearly there was an issue with at least one of the other boys who thought this was a good idea. And now there's a second one. So yep. I'm gonna guess, I don't know, the conversations amongst the boys maybe should have been a little more, I don't know, parented. I really wonder what was going on, what was being discussed, and how much was just looked at as, well, boys will be boys. And then this nightmare happened. I don't know. But I mean, I feel like when you put the authority to help raise other children in the hands of other children, you might get some bad outcomes.
Yeah, it was children raising children. Again, this is just according to Jill. The parenting that was going on in the house, and she says her parents were extremely loving and everything, but it was at night. The girls would be in their room, the boys would be in their room, and then dad would sit in the middle and he would preach to them. They'd do their Bible study at night, and that was the parenting. But during the day, they had their buddy system, just like the Navy SEALs do. You don't get anywhere without your buddy. And so it was adolescents raising adolescents.
Yeah.
But, and again, how did they reinforce that? that was where they got their that validation, that acceptance. So that's what they kept seeking, was they kept seeking more responsibility as a sibling, because that's where they got their attention from, was the accolades they got from raising their siblings well. And the guardrails, the rules, and they put the rules in place. The only rule there was exactly what the Bible says in my interpretation of it. You just stay within these guardrails right here and you're fine. The problem that this manifested was, when it came to sexuality, it was ignored. It was like suppressed, ignored. You don't talk about it because that's a sin. You can't think, you can't even think bad thoughts because that's a sin.
Which is insane, because it's their brand. Brand is effing like rabbits. But it's like, we don't speak of this. We don't speak of how the sausage is made.
It's a control system put in place in an uncontrollable situation.
It is, and it's just enough. They hit all the right points with all the people at the right moments in their lives to make them go along with it, to make them think, oh, this is warm and fuzzy and lovely. They had half the country bamboozled that was watching this shit show, and then they're all shocked when it all goes to hell.
And it was
back
also homeschooling, then, too. It was homeschooling, but not homeschooling from what the state put out as homeschooling. No. But it was actually the religious homeschooling that actually the church itself created the schooling program.
Yes.
So it was...
Books, their workbooks. They have like a handful of workbooks that they teach from. And it's a really sad excuse for education. And again, these are all things that if it was a business that was conducting this, it would be sued 7 ways to Tuesday and would be shut down. But because it was a religion by Bill Gothard, who built his entire organization on this, who's been accused by more than 34 women of harassment and assault and is 91, still operating. He's never faced criminal charges. The organization he built is still running. And when you look at the Duggar story and then look back at the man at the top of the system that shaped them, I mean, it's not shocking. It's none of this is shocking. I remember watching the show, like I said, back in the day before there was one charge against any of them. And I kind of had a feeling that, 10, 20 years from now, we're going to be telling a very different story of this family.
This is a recipe for something going sideways.
Yes.
Hard. Yeah, it really was. If you look back at Ruby Frankie, and I know someone mentioned, Kevin Frankie he wasn't the patriarch in his family. You're right. Ruby was, but she said he was.
It's the same level of like just willful ignorance at a certain point where it's like, well, my religion says I shouldn't step up and be a human being and care for my children.
And remember, Ruby's whole motivation too is the same motivation you're using here. She was constantly seeking approval from her mom. Yeah.
And they end up putting someone in a place of religious authority that then overrides actual authority,
right,
or just moral judgment, and then you have to follow the authority. In that case, Ruby Frankie was the authority. In the cases over here, it's who's ever saying we're not going to the police. I was watching the doc last night, The Shiny Happy People, and it was one of the friends, a very close friend of the Duggar family, of Jim Bob, that sat down in the doc and said, Jim Bob, everything you're running on here for Senate, and all these, real moral principles you're trying to stand on, involving people who do these sort of things to children, by your own campaign, by your own standards, he would be in prison. So, then they sat down and thought, well, maybe we should go turn him in. And they did, and they brought him in. So, but it took somebody catching it. And I think that's just the real shitty part about the Duggars and the whole IBLP and all of it. It's like, okay, once you catch them, they're like, oh, you got me. But it takes somebody to go and say, hey, wait a second here. Then it's like, oh, you got me. But until then, they don't they've not demonstrated the moral authority to stand up on their own and say, I screwed up. Not that people are anywhere really turned themselves in, but the fact that they're able to do these things and just kind of create like a game of cat and mouse where it's like, hope I don't get caught, no matter how horrible the shit is that they've done.
again, their level of forgiveness, that's why it was their get out of jail free card. As long as I admit it and seek forgiveness, you have to give me my forgiveness. You know, meanwhile, and then when that happens, and you don't, as an adult, as the only adults here, the mom and the dad don't understand. It's like, just because you forgive your son doesn't mean he's going to change his behavior. Just because you send him to a work camp, you know, with a neighbor for a couple months doesn't mean he's going to change his behavior. There was no belief in counseling, rehabilitation, which you can't in those situations anyway, or letting law enforcement know, or anyone. It's just a disaster. And to the other, they will definitely tell you they're Christian, they're fundamental Christians, and it is Baptist, is what this is an offshoot of. Again, in one of the questions in the comments there.
Yeah, in horror stories.
Yes, I know it doesn't.
Forgiveness
does not negate consequences, Mark Fry. You're right, but according to them, it does.
According to them, that seems to be how it functions quite often. It's not shocking. It's not shocking. And I feel like there's far more to come here.
Well, and who's the guy that, you know, again, I can't believe the name is skipping.
The church?
Who started the
Bill
church?
Bill Gothard.
And how many charges, how many accusations have been against him?
Well, quite a few. I believe 30 something, but he's never been criminally charged with anything. He's maintained his innocence on everything. 34 women have come forward with charges of harassment and assault. He's 91 now. And he's another guy where when there's so many preachers you can watch on television and stuff, and there's several that are just creepy as shit. In my opinion, there is a level of creepiness to him, but he's very soft-spoken. And of all of them, he's really not the type that you're going, I wonder what's going on behind the scenes here. But apparently there's a lot of accusations that have been there. But again, never been charged, maintains his innocence. But I mean, 34 doesn't come out of a vacuum either. That's just kind of like, it's like,
point to bring it up is that, you know, again, 51% of the cases we see of cults, 51% are a religious offshoot. I'll call it a religious offshoot, not religious mainstream, because this is a religious offshoot, is typically created by someone that is taking something that they can use, an infrastructure that's always already in place. They can then manipulate it in a way to serve their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like almost any time I hear the words, we're an offshoot, like, it's run. Just run. Yeah,
an offshoot, eh?
Like, an offshoot. So somebody had an idea that the original extreme church said, you're too extreme for us, but over here, it's all fine and dandy. That seems to be how so much of it works. Anyway, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to get your thoughts. There's a lot more to come on this case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.